Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Joshua 22. We'll pick it up at verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, half the tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You've kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left, as you have not forsaken your brethren these many days up to this day, but have kept the charge, the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, as he promised them. Now therefore return and go to your tents into the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the half the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but to the other half of it, Joshua gave a possession among their brethren on this side of the Jordan westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them and he spoke to them, saying, "Return, return with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, and with very much clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren." So the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they had obtained according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The eastern tribes returned to their lands. As we've just read, return, but take careful heed to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. These people had been faithful. These people, they had kept the commandments, commanded them. Having kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord their God, return and go to your tents, to the land of your possession. The land of their possession, not a land that possessed them. And so the journey begins. Joshua blesses them and sends them away. They returned with much riches, much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron and clothing, the NIV reads. So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites, Shiloh and Canaan, to return to Gilead, their own land, which they had acquired in accordance with the command of the Lord through Moses. And so they're off. The journey begins. Journeying. They're making their way. They're making ground and taking ground. Joshua 22, verse 10. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half the tribe of Manasseh built an altar there before the Jordan, by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. The NIV reads, when they came to Geliloth, near the Jordan, in the land of Canaan, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. The Voice Bible, they built an immense altar there by the river. And the Wycliffe Bible, and when they had come to the terms of the Jordan into the land of Canaan, they built beside the Jordan an altar of the greatest site. When they had come to Geliloth by the Jordan River in the region of Gilgal, they built a great altar there by the river for all to see. An altar. And now we come to verse 11. Verse 11, now the children of Israel heard someone say, rumor mill. Rumor and rumors. Spreading rumors. Careful. The rumor mill. Rumor. This altar, this great impressive altar, this imposing altar, this immense altar, this altar for all to see. I mean, what's the big deal? Altars were no new thing. Verses 11 to 12, now the children of Israel heard someone say, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half, the tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan on the children of Israel's side. And when the children of Israel heard it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. Go to war? It's an offensive altar. Is it an offensive altar? Fact? Presumption? Assumption? Hey, did you hear about that altar? Hey, I heard about this altar. Hey, I heard from one that heard from one about this offensive altar. Rumor has it. An altar in this story, this history, and think of all that could replace the word. Did you hear about? I heard from someone that heard about. They've so-and-so's, verses 12 to 20. The children of Israel heard of it. The whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. Then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, the half the tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead. And with him 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief of the house of every tribe of Israel. And each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. Then they came to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead. And they spoke with them, saying, thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what treachery is this that you have committed against the Lord God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have built for yourselves an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed till this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? And it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. Nevertheless, if the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. But do not rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us, by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? That man did not perish alone in his iniquity. They heard about this altar. And so they gather themselves together to go to war against them. They come to them and they start accusing them. No inquiry. No, hey, heard this rumor. Is it true? What treachery is this that you've committed against God, this turning away? You built this altar for yourselves that you might rebel against the Lord. Verse 19, the Amplified, do not rebel against the Lord. Or rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord our God at Shiloh. The Amplified Classic, do not rebel against the Lord or rebel against us by building for yourselves an altar other than the altar of the Lord our God. Explanation. Verses 21 to 29, then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the divisions of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knows. And let Israel itself know. If it is in rebellion or if in treachery against the Lord, do not save us this day. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or if to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord himself require an account. But in fact, we have done it for fear, for a reason, saying in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us. You children of Reuben and children of Gad, you have no part. You have no part in the Lord. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between you and us and our generations after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in times to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore, we said that it will be when they say this to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say, here is the replica of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, for sacrifices, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. They had heard. Certain messengers had told them. But in fact, an offensive altar, an altar of rebellion. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't jump the gun. It's an altar of witness. A rumor and the rumor mill, and they're ready for war. How many wars have been started? How many wars have started because of unfounded rumors? Little rumors and not so little rumors. Little wars and not so little wars. Wars attacking, criticizing, condemning, fighting, and breaches and separation, parting, divorce, estrangement. Ever jumped the gun? When you heard, when you were told, when you were informed, ever joined the rumor mill? You know, part of its grind, its production, its producing, its fabricating, its operating, fueling and firing the mill. When they had heard, they go from blessing a people And now they're ready. They're ready for war. Verses 30 to 34, now when Phinehas the priest and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the rulers returned from the children of Reuben and the children of Gad from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought back word to them. So the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God. They spoke no more of going against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness. For it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. I recall the words of the late Reverend Mel Davis. He said, you cannot say this is that until you can say this is not that. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, therefore judge nothing before the time. Charles Spurgeon said the tribes on the other side of the Jordan, when they erected a memorial altar, disclaimed all intention of using it for the purpose of sacrifice and said most plainly, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices besides the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. Well, it all worked out that day. Phinehas the priest and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of the Israel who were with them, they heard the words. They were pleased. And those incredible words, they spoke no more of going against them. Spoke no more against them. You know, church, it's a lesson for us. They're on all levels of life and living. Hey, did you hear? Did you hear that so-and-so? Did you hear that these? And we know the tendency, the pull to join the rumor mill. Caught up in its wheeling, its turning, its churning. Well, I mean, at least they spoke to them instead of just physically attacking them. Can you imagine if they would have arrived forcibly and just started warring against them, taking people out, bloodshed and killing, and the warring dies down, and one comes out from hiding? This is an altar of witness. Yikes! A lot of terrible situations because of jumping to conclusions. A lot of terrible things have happened because of jumping the gun. And taking to action, call it war and warring. Regretful things, seemingly unrepairable things, destruction. And what of relationships? Breaches and breaking and such animosity. We are not to be given to rumor, nor the rumor mill, gossip, and so on, because we are people of truth. I read these words. As human beings, we suffer from an innate tendency to jump to conclusions, to judge people too quickly, and to pronounce them failures or heroes without due consideration of the actual facts and ideals of the period. A few scriptures today. John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Proverbs 25:8, do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbors put you to shame? I love the message. It says, don't jump to conclusions. There may be a perfectly good explanation for what you just saw. For what was seen and what was heard. Acts 28:1-4. Now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. We know the shipwreck. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. No murderer. And soon they thought he was a god. Verses 5-6, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Murderer, shake it off. God. No murderer, no God. Just a man sent by God to minister. Verses 7-10, in that region, there was an estate of a leading citizen magistrate of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever, dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Jumped to conclusions, jumped the gun, and spoke or acted only to find out mistaken. And I wouldn't doubt it's the same for us all. Call it part two if you like. Information. Rumor mill. Halt the mill. I share this story. You know, when you see things. When my husband was a guest speaker at a church in Illinois many years ago, I sat in the congregation with some friends. He preached a very moving sermon, expounding point after point. I thought, wow, what a great sermon. When your wife is impressed, it must be good. However, a young man sitting on the aisle in front of me did not share my enthusiasm. He looked rather distant and kept reading a magazine. Granted, it was a Christian magazine, but he obviously wasn't impressed or interested in what the preacher was saying, what the preacher had to say. I sat there getting more and more irritated. How rude, I thought. I tried not to glance at him, but my eyes kept drifting back in his direction. What was this problem? Didn't he get it? Why bother to come to church? After church, my friend said, I'd like you to meet our newest member. As she led me straight over to this disinterested fellow, she informed me, Jeff is deaf, and we don't have anyone to sign for him yet, but he loves to come to church. I also learned he could read lips if you spoke slowly, but not from a distance. The lesson I learned is don't jump to conclusions. Things are not always what they appear to be. I heard about this altar. I heard about halt the mill off the prayer. I heard about this altar from so-and-so. Hey, so-and-so, how about we inquire? Perhaps we should halt the mill and inquire. Shakespeare said, rumor is a pipe blown by surmises, jealousies, conjectures, and of so easy and so plain a stop that the blunt monster with uncounted heads, the still, discordant, wavering multitude can play upon it. And these words, rumor, upon my tongue's continual slanders ride, the which in every language I pronounce, stuffing the ears of men with false reports. Proverbs 26:20, without food, a fire goes, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels, they go down to the inmost parts. Exodus 23:1, do not spread false reports. The New King James Version, you shall not circulate a false report. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. James 1:26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Dear God, that ain't Old Testament. And if it was, it would still be right. Because it takes a whole Bible to make a whole Christian. We also need to be careful even when there is an offense, because Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So true. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. And this, serious misfortunes originating in misrepresentation frequently flow and spread before they can be dissipated by truth. And no doubt, in the world we're living in. You know, I've run a few races in my life. I've watched races run, jump the gun, and a warning. Jump the gun, and a cautioning. Jump the gun, and rightfully cautious. The Wycliffe Bible, and the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad called the altar which they had builded, are witnessing that the Lord himself is God. The NLT, the people of Reuben and Gad, named the altar witness, for they said, it is a witness between us and them that the Lord is our God too. The NLV, this altar shows the agreement between us that the Lord is God. New Century Version, the altar, proof that we believe the Lord is God. A witnessing, a testimony, this testifying. Can I get a witness? You know, it may seem simple today. However, this truth is so important. It's so important. And so important for the believer, for the Christian. You think about home life, married life, family life, clan life, school life, work life, business life, even recreation life, sports life, world life, and of course, church life, kingdom life. Proverbs 6:16-19 out of the Passion Translation, there are six evils God truly hates, and a seventh that is an abomination to him. Putting others down while considering yourself superior. Spreading lies and rumors. Spilling the blood of the innocent. Plotting evil in your heart toward another. Gloating over doing what's plainly wrong. Spouting lies and false testimony and stirring up strife between friends. These are entirely despicable to God. 1 Timothy 3:11, The Amplified, women likewise, be worthy of respect, not malicious gossips, but self-controlled, thoroughly trustworthy in all things, fit for men too. Whoa, man. First Timothy 5:13 to 15, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some, having already turned aside after Satan, no humor mill. You know, it's quite the text, and it's not just for the younger widows. Proverbs 10:18, the Voice Bible, lips that lie cover deep-seated hatred. And whoever spreads a libelous rumor is acting as a fool. Well, what of this? Father Jacob died. He took up the ghost. Remember what the brothers did to Joseph? We know the story. We know the history. Father is dead, and the brothers jump to a conclusion, an assumption. Rumor mill? Rumoring among them? Genesis 50, verses 14 to 21. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who went up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us. May actually repay us, repay fully for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messages to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sins, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants, the God of your father.' And Joseph wept." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. "Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." He spoke to their heart. This account teaches us two things. Wrongful assuming, wrong assumption can cause us to do things we shouldn't, things that are not right. The brothers lied. The brothers lied to Joseph because of wrong assumption. Now, no doubt, the rumor among them had much to do with the bringing about of this action. Call it a false fear, for they believed that he might repay them for all they had done. But to think, after all the grace and mercy Joseph had shown them, the incredible love and kindness and forgiveness, and thank God Joseph had the right attitude. Joseph had the right attitude, the right spirit. He said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as is this day, to save many people alive." These words, afraid to approach Joseph personally, they sent a message to him hoping to convince him. Did Jacob actually speak the words they quoted? Probably not. If Jacob wanted to intercede for the guilty sons, he could easily have done it when he was alone with Joseph. He had 17 years in which to do it. It's likely that the brothers concocted this story, hoping that Joseph's love for his father would give him a greater love for his brothers. The Message Bible, Joseph replied, "Do not be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good." Maybe someone needs to hear that today. As you see all around you right now, life for many people. "Easy now, you have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and your children," he reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. Well, back to Joshua just for a moment. Joshua 22:11, the Voice Bible. When the other people of Israel heard that the people of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built a huge altar on the frontier of Canaan, on the side the Jordan given to them, they feared the altar was going to be used to worship the gods of the land of Canaan. Fear. Unfounded fears. Joseph reassures his brothers. You know, it's a lesson for us to be like Joseph. Be soft, reassuring, comforting, and kind. Rumor mill Remember, do you remember when God told the people to go in and possess the land? The word of God, the word of the Lord, he said, go. Okay, Numbers 13, we're going to read from the Message paraphrase. 30 to 33, Caleb interrupted, called for silence before Moses and said, let us go up and take the land now. We can do it. But the others said, we can't attack those people. They are way stronger than we are. They spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. They said, we scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that swallows people whole. Everybody we saw was huge. Why? We even saw the Nephilim giants and Anak giants come from the Nephilim. Alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers. Note, we felt. And they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. Numbers 14, 36 to 38. So it happened when the men Moses sent out to scout the land returned. They returned to circulate false rumors about the land, causing the entire community to grumble against Moses. You see what can happen? Circulate false rumors. And all the people start grumbling against Moses. When God said, go take the land. But all of a sudden, look, they're grumbling against Moses. Well, it says all these men died, having spread false rumors of the land. They died in the plague, confronted by God. Only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, were left alive of the men who went to scout out the land. Circulating false rumors, spreading, so affecting and effecting and infecting. We are not to be given to rumor. Well, what about rumors of God? Job 42, 1-6, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself, despise myself, and repent in dust and ashes. The Message Bible says, I admit I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it firsthand from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry, forgive me. I'll never do it again, I promise. I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay, crumbs of rumor. You know, I love that. I love this. Don't live on rumors. You know, it's a crummy life. And here in this sense, don't live on rumors of God, but rather firsthand. Unfazed by rumor. Can you handle it? You know, when someone gets the rumor mill going, Psalm 112, 1 to 10, hallelujah. Blessed man, blessed woman who fear God, who cherish and relish his commandments, their children robust on the earth, hallelujah. And the homes of the upright, how blessed, their houses brim with wealth and generosity that never runs dry. Sunrise breaks through the darkness for good people. God's grace and mercy and justice. The good person is generous and lends lavishly. No shuffling or stumbling around for this one, but a sterling and solid lasting reputation, unfazed by rumor and gossip, heart ready, trusting in God, spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxed among enemies. They lavish gifts on the poor and generosity that goes on and on and on, an honored life, a beautiful life. Someone wicked takes one look and rages, blusters away, but ends up speechless. There is nothing to the dreams of the wicked, nothing. Rumors of others or rumors spread about us. Unfazed, though not easy. We got to give it to God. We got to let him help. If they are untruth, let truth keep you. If there is opportunity granted by the Lord to clear things up, so be it. If there is no such opportunity, carry on unfazed, for God is the perfect judge. Vengeance? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Some rumors are spawned out of envy. They were envious of Jesus. Mark 3:22, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons. Imagine spreading this. part of the rumor mill about the Son of God. The message reads, the religion scholars from Jerusalem came down spreading rumors that he was working black magic, using devil tricks to impress them with spiritual power. Envy carries destruction. Envy, yes. And rumor, a pipe blown by surmises, jealousies, conjunctures. How about rumors birthed out of ungodly resistance? Acts 19, 8-10. Paul then went straight to the meeting place. He had the run of the place for 3 months, doing his best to make the things of the kingdom of God real and convincing to them. But then resistance began to form as some of them began spreading evil rumors through the congregation about the Christian way of life. So Paul left, taking the disciples with him, and set up shop in the school of Tyrannus. Holding class there daily, he did this for 2 years, giving everyone in the province of Asia, Jews as well as Greeks, ample opportunity to hear the message of the Master. Spreading, and sometimes like wildfire. Part of the cast, 1 Corinthians 4, 9-13. It seems to me that God has put us who bear his message on stage in a theater in which no one wants to buy a ticket. We're something everyone stands around and stares at like an accident in the street. We're the Messiah's misfits. You might be sure of yourselves, but we live in the midst of frailties and uncertainties. You might be well thought of by others, but we're mostly kicked around. Much of the time, we don't have enough to eat. We wear patched and threadbare clothes. We get doors slammed in our faces, and we pick up odd jobs anywhere we can to eke out a living. When they call us names, we say, God bless you. When they spread rumors about us, we put in a good word for them. We're treated like garbage, the leftovers that nobody wants. And it's not getting any better. Part of the cast? Good company. And these be of God. God knows. Tag. They're it. 1 Timothy 6, 2-5. These are the things I want to teach you. I want to teach and preach. I want you to teach and preach. If you have leaders there who teach otherwise, who refuse the solid words of our Master, Jesus, and this godly instruction, tag them for what they are, ignorant windbags who infect the air with germs of envy, controversy, bad-mouthing, suspicious rumors. Eventually, there's an epidemic of backstabbing, and truth is but a distant memory. They think religion is a way to make a fast buck. You cannot say, this is that, until you can say, this is not that. Rumors from the power hungry. We're wrapping it up. I know it's 11:31. 3 John 1:9-10. Earlier I wrote something along this line to the church. As this individual, you can put whatever name you want there, who loves being in charge, denigrates my counsel. If I come, you can be sure I'll hold him to account for spreading vicious rumors about us. As if that weren't bad enough, he not only refuses hospitality to traveling Christians, but tries to stop others from welcoming them. Worse yet, instead of inviting them in, he throws them out. Beware the breathless report or rumored letter. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-5. Now, friends, read these words carefully. Slow down and don't go jump into conclusions regarding the day when our Master Jesus Christ will come back and we will assemble to welcome him. Don't let anyone shake you up or get you excited over some breathless report or rumored letter from me that the day of the Master's arrival has come and gone. Don't fall for anything like that. Before the day comes, a couple of things have to happen. First, the apostasy. Second, the debut of the Antichrist, the partner in crime with Satan. He'll defy and then take over every so-called god or altar. Having cleared away the opposition, he'll then set himself up in God's temple as God Almighty. Don't you remember me going over all this in detail when I was with you? Are your memories that short? Well, see that you are not troubled. Be not troubled. Matthew 22, 4 to 14, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my namesake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Mark 13:7, "Do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet." You know, I remember being on a trip, a dirt bike trip to Idaho. On our way down, there were all these billboards. The USA had been blanketed with these billboards. Judgment Day, the return of Christ, the Bible guarantees it. And a date. The date was the next day. Incredible. The cost involved in this spread. I am in no way poking fun today. I thought to myself, is this the way I want to spend the last day of my life? Well, is Jesus coming? I think I'm ready. Am I ready? Be troubled by the billboard rumors, or put your head on the pillow and be not troubled. Well, we rode the next day, and here we are, over a decade later. Not the first wrong prediction from this old chap, but people kept believing. And the rumor with a new date spreading once again. How many paid, gave money to spread that false rumor? Don't help the rumor mill. Halt the rumor mill. Let's have the worship team return. Well, someone's saying, yeah, not the day or the hour, but how about the year, the month, or the week? Matthew 24, 35 to 44. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." You know, just get ready. Just get ready. Be ready. Live ready and be not troubled. If we'd read the Bible, and if there are things we do not understand, seek out wise counsel. If we would read the Bible, know the Bible, we'd be wise to rumors when they are false, that they are false concerning those types of rumors. An encouragement today. Rumor mill, halt it. Pepper mill. Salt mill. I like both. You know, like seasoning. You're here to be salt. Light mill. There is such a thing. And I love the windmill of the Holy Ghost. Do not be one that's given a rumor, this tendency to fall in. You know, sometimes it's juicy, you know what I'm talking about. And so you take it and you run with it and you want to spread it because it gives you a voice. Gives you a voice. You know, Joseph's brothers, we read like they thought maybe the love for the father would cause Joseph to love them. You know, in this sense, this is true. A love for our father gives us greater love for our brothers and for our sisters, even the ones that have mistreated and will mistreat us, even the ones that will speak against us, even the ones that will slander us, even the ones that will walk out of this church today, heaven forbid, but they might, and start speaking against us and spread rumors against us. Those in this city, perhaps they're speaking against a house or a congregation or, you know, whatever it might be, listen, unfazed. God knows. God knows. We carry on. We press on. We press on. And you know what we do? We pray for them. And we say, God bless you. We don't take things into our own hands. God will be God to us. Let's stand in the house today.